Welcome back to Vasper Today. This is our special Q&A segment, where we dig into your questions and go even deeper on this week's big stories. Thanks to everyone who wrote in. Let's get right into it.
First up, we've got Emma from London. She asks, with bond yields so high right now, what's the smartest move for someone managing a pension fund or a university endowment? Is it time to shift strategies or just ride out the volatility?
Great question, Emma. Think of this as a real-time stress test for institutional investors. When yields spike like they have in 2026, it's tempting to pile into government bonds for the higher returns. But here's the nuance. Locking in at these rates could look smart now, but if inflation stays sticky or rates go even higher, you risk missing out on future upside, or worse, taking mark-to-market losses.
But Alex, isn't there a danger in overreacting? If you're constantly rebalancing every time yields jump, you could rack up transaction costs and miss the bigger picture. Sometimes the best move is to stick to your long-term asset allocation, especially if your liabilities are decades away.
Absolutely, Sarah. The key is matching your assets to your future obligations. For pensions and endowments, that means stress testing your portfolio against different rate scenarios, not just chasing today's headlines. And don't forget about diversification. Alternatives like infrastructure or private credit can help smooth out the ride.
So Emma, bottom line, don't panic, but do revisit your risk models and maybe have a chat with your investment committee about scenario planning, just in case 2026 throws us another curveball.
Next, Marcus from Austin writes in, everyone's talking about Kevin Warsh being a hawk at the Fed, but could his tough stance actually backfire? What's the risk if the Fed over-tightens right now?
Ooh, I love a contrarian angle. Quick thought experiment. What if Warsh's aggressive rate hikes tip us into a recession? We've seen central banks overshoot before. If credit dries up too fast, you could see a wave of business defaults, layoffs, and even a hit to the housing market.
That's a real risk, Marcus. The data shows that monetary policy works with a lag, sometimes 12 to 18 months. If the Fed keeps tightening into late 2026 without waiting for the effects to show up, we could overshoot and end up with unnecessary economic pain. The challenge for Warsh is threading the needle, cool inflation without crushing growth.
And let's not forget the political pressure. With government borrowing still sky high, higher rates mean bigger interest payments for Uncle Sam. That could get messy fast. So Marcus, watch for signs the Fed is willing to pause or pivot if the data turns south. Flexibility is going to be key.
Shifting gears, Nora from Riyadh asks, with NVIDIA dominating the AI chip market, is there any real opportunity left for startups, or is this just a winner-take-all game now?
Love this one. Picture this scenario. NVIDIA's the king of the hill in 2026, but every tech cycle eventually opens cracks for challengers. Startups can't outspend NVIDIA on hardware, but they can innovate on software, custom chips for niche applications, or even energy efficiency. Think edge AI or specialized inference chips.
Exactly. The technical moat is deep, but not unbreakable. Startups can focus on vertical integration, building AI solutions tailored for healthcare, logistics, or security, where NVIDIA's general-purpose chips aren't always optimal. Plus, open-source hardware and cloud-based AI services are lowering the barrier to entry.
And let's be real, regulators are watching. If NVIDIA's dominance starts to look anti-competitive, we could see new rules or incentives for challengers. So Nora, don't count out the little guys just yet. The next big disruption could come from a garage, not a giant.
Ama from Accra sent in a great technical question. How do these AI chips actually work under the hood? And why can't traditional CPUs keep up?
I'll let you geek out on this one, Alex.
Thanks, Sarah. Think of AI chips, like NVIDIA's GPUs or custom accelerators, as massively parallel engines. Instead of handling one task at a time like a CPU, they process thousands of operations simultaneously. That's perfect for training neural networks, which require crunching huge matrices of data.
So it's like having 1,000 chefs in the kitchen instead of just one.
Exactly. And in 2026, we're seeing even more specialization, chips designed for specific AI tasks, like language processing or computer vision. This means faster, more energy-efficient AI, but also a new arms race in chip design. For developers, it's crucial to understand which hardware matches your workload, or you risk leaving performance and money on the table.
So, Ama, if you're building AI in 2026, don't just grab the shiniest chip. Match your tools to your problem and keep an eye on emerging architectures.
Last one for today. Felix from Vienna writes, with all this Middle East volatility, how should global businesses rethink their supply chains? Is just-in-time dead, or is there a smarter way forward?
Oh, supply chains, the ultimate headache. Here's what this means for you, Felix. The old just-in-time model is looking pretty fragile in 2026. But swinging all the way to just-in-case, stockpiling everything, can kill your margins.
The data backs that up. The smartest companies are now building hybrid models, regionalizing suppliers, using AI to predict disruptions, and holding strategic reserves of critical inputs. It's about resilience, not redundancy.
And don't forget transparency. If you can't see where your stuff is, you can't react when things go sideways. So, Felix, invest in real-time tracking and scenario planning. The winners in 2026 will be those who can pivot fast, without breaking the bank.
Great questions this week. Thanks to everyone who wrote in. If you've got more, keep them coming.
And remember, whether you're managing a pension, building the next AI unicorn, or just trying to get your groceries on time, we're here to help you make sense of it all.
That's it for this Q&A. We'll see you next week on Vasper Today, where your questions drive the conversation. Stay curious.